The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
We're joined now by Stanley Johnson, a former Conservative MEP who voted Remain in Britain's 2016 referendum and who has recently applied for a French passport. Stanley Johnson, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Very nice to hear you.
Now, you've been talking about your French passport. You have an entitlement by your lineage to that passport. But more important, why do you want to have one? Is it simply to skip some of the queues?
No, absolutely not. Actually, with a middle name, which is Patrick, I could try for the Irish passport as well. Anyway, no, being serious, not with a view to skipping the queues. There's a couple of aspects here, Pat. It's sentimental, if you like. One of them, my mother was born in France. Her mother was French. Her grandparents were French. There's a whole array, as you said, of French lineage there. And she took it very, very seriously. Towards the end of her life, she grew up speaking French. And then towards the end of her life, she rather relapsed into that too. So there's a sentimental thing. And then I'd say there's a symbolic aspect to this as well. You said, and you're right about that, that I voted Remain. I not only voted for Remain, I actually helped set up in the UK an organization called Environmentalists for Europe. And we fought hard to try and make sure that the environmental outcomes were not affected by whether Britain left the EU. Well, we didn't win that. And after the vote in 2016, I said that's the way the country voted, and therefore I supported leaving. That said, I think that the crucial thing now that the Brexit deal is well and truly done, we've not only had the withdrawal agreement, we've had the EU-UK trade and cooperation agreement. Now that that deal is done, I think it is going to be tremendously important to build these bridges with Europe. As I said, a little thing I thought I could do in a symbolic way would be actually to say to the French, look, you say I'm French. Well, please, can I have the certificate? It actually turns out this is slightly more complicated than you might think, because there's a very, very clear set of documents I was sent that I had to produce, including things like my grandmother's birth certificate in Paris in the last century, and so on and so forth. That exercise, and then to prove also any links we had in terms of, well, actually, my great aunt did have some land in Cahors, in the southwest region of France. That sort of thing is going ahead. So yes, a symbolic and a sentimental journey. And of course, you're right. There may be some aspects in terms of facilitating one's life in Europe.
Sure. And tell me this: you also keep your UK passport, I presume?
Oh, good heavens! I just say in French, ça va sans dire. Yes, that is certainly the case. And don't think I'm in any way resiling from a Britishness here. No, of course I'm not. I do not know whether this exercise will come to fruition or not. But yes, I've done it, and there's no point trying to keep quiet about it. There are people out there who know what I'm doing, and in due course, the French authorities will put two and two together, and they'll say, well, who is this Stanley Johnson? Is he any relation to so on and so forth?
So you were upfront about it. Now, you are a staunch supporter of your son, as any father would be, who achieved the highest office in the land. But you did campaign and articulate very strongly that you were opposed to the Brexit idea, the whole concept of Brexit. And we're seeing some fallout from that. It's not easy to trade between the UK and the EU. There's a lot of documentation. There have been delays. And we see in Northern Ireland shelves in the supermarket which are bare. I mean, do you ever have chats with your son and say, by the way, Boris, you know, you did get it wrong, like your dad told you before the referendum?
No, I don't go down that route. I say to myself, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I say, well, it wasn't just the June 2016 vote which got us out of the EU. That vote was confirmed on several occasions, including, you know, most recently the 2019 election in this country. So I am a Democrat, and I totally accept that. You could say you could say, when history comes to be written, it may be people will say, well, look, the relationship of UK with the EU, it was an uncomfortable one. I went in, of course, even before I was an MEP, I was a senior civil servant at the European Commission. I was one of the first British people, Brits we call them, to go to Brussels in April 1973. Britain came in January 73. So I was very much in favour. But I can see in the eye of history, one might say, look, after this 50-year experiment, UK didn't fit so well in the federalizing concept. So there you have it. There you have it. We are out. But I do say now, and I come back to this point, the absolutely crucial thing is to build the bridges. And take one example I am very, very heavily involved with, which is the preparation. I know everybody's involved with COVID at the moment and the coronavirus, but looking ahead to November this year, we have the great conference coming up on climate change. That conference is meant to be, as we're putting, crossing the T's and dotting the I's of the Paris Agreement 5 years ago, and really to get us back on track so that we don't move towards the global warming.
And which I know your point. Yes, yes. Your point is that the UK, far from diluting any environmental standards, will in fact be the flag bearer for the highest of environmental standards, and will be, of course, chairing the COP26 conference.
Yes, Pat. And then I would say, for those who've had the spare time, if you actually look at this, I think it must be at least 1,000 pages, maybe it's more, the UK-EU Trade and Cooperation Group, there's some very good stuff on the environment in there. There is, perfectly well. Because, by the way, I take my hat off to the Irish government for the effort they made to make sure we did come out of this debate with a proper deal. We have got a proper deal, and a lot of tribute needs to be paid and is being paid, I think, to the role of your Taoiseach, including the previous Taoiseach, for getting this on track. Now, that's where we are, and I can see that the real need is for new bridges to be built between the EU and the UK. Your point about the empty shelves in Northern Ireland. Yes, I've been following the story this morning, following it also on your show, I'm glad to say, through the miracle of the internet. And I suspect that they'll sort this out fairly soon, and those empty shelves won't be empty for long.
Now, you are a busy man on many fronts. We talked to you before about your long-lost novel, which resurfaced again because it turned out to be quite prescient about the virus that we're all fighting at the moment. And you have another novel coming out, which also seems to be very much of its time. It'll be coming out in April, is it? The Warming?
No, it's coming out in February, actually.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Tell me more.
Well, there we go. Yes, thank you for reminding me that we spoke about the virus last time, and yes, that remains pretty topical. And if you want to while away a few hours with a pandemic thriller written 40 years ago, you get in the bookshop or go online and get the virus. Now, the new one is called The Warming, and that also, of course, is topical because this again is something I wrote a few years back. It was republished in America in 2015. They're now being published again next month in this country by Black Spring Press, but I expect it'll be available here in Amazon and so on. Yes, it's a thriller. It is a thriller. I write thrillers. Life is thrilling enough, but sometimes I try to add to it. And this is a thriller about Scott's expedition to the South Pole, the beginning of the 20th century. He comes back. His sledge is laden with geological samples because he's a serious scientist. He doesn't make it back to base, as you know. He's buried in the ice. The bodies 9 months later are dug up. And what do they find? They find the geological samples. They find rocks. And do these rocks contain a magic, mystical substance, which actually, when sprinkled on the waters of the South Atlantic, can absorb all the excess carbon dioxide? Well, I read that some years ago. It's a good geopolitical thriller, and I commend it to your listeners.
You have a way of attracting attention, I suppose, Stanley. Most recently, in recent days, getting your second shot, and people were accusing you of jumping the queue. I'm not referring to your passport now, but jumping the queue to get vaccinated twice. What is your response to that?
Here I am, for once in a while, actually doing what I was asked to do, which is having got my first vaccination on December the 18th, the hospital said, and put it in the stamp, put it in the piece of paper they gave me, please come back on January the 8th. So I did what I was asked to do. So it's quite ironic when they're getting at me, sometimes when my mask slips off my nose. One of the problems is if you have a large nose, your mouth, the mask can slip. But when I did do what I was asked to do, they said, well, why on earth did you do what you were asked to do? No, this is, of course, a very serious issue. And my own view is that the government has to take its responsibilities. It has to get the vaccinations into the people. You just had a brilliant piece on your program about the Israeli, a fantastic Israeli effort. Well, our government we may not be as good as the Israelis, but we are pushing hard to get the vaccinations out. So I personally, even though I have actually profited by two doses, I personally think the government is well within its rights and well within reason in asking for the interval to be expanded as between 3 weeks and some longer period. So, yes,
Stanley, thank you once again for joining us on the programme to talk about so many things. Stanley Johnson on Brexit and all the rest of it. But that book, The Warming, will be available from February, republished from its original publication date.